Back to Psalm 32. Psalm 32, one of the Psalms of David. We learned much in the first few verses last week. We look forward to seeing what we see in the middle verses, Lord willing, this evening. So Psalm 32, beginning at verse 1. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silence, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. We thank God again for his beautiful word.
Going to turn now to Psalm 32, and as I said, our focus tonight will be verse 7. In 1997, there was a book published entitled The Hiding Place, which probably you've read, some of you at least, written by Corrie ten Boom about her experiences along with her sister and her family, not just in concentration camp, but also in Holland, attempting to hide Jews from the clutches of the Nazis. The title, of course, refers to that physical hiding place in their home where the Ten Boom family hid Jews from the Nazis. But of course, the idea goes back further than that. We read, for instance, in Psalm 119, verse 114, you are my hiding place and my shield, I hope, in your word. And then, of course, we have our text here tonight. Verses 1 and 2 speak of the blessedness of the saints. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. The blessedness of the believer is manifold and multifaceted. Those who believe in Christ, whose sins are forgiven and whose destiny is glory, are those who are blessed in innumerable ways. If you're a Christian tonight, you are blessed beyond your wildest imaginations. And even when you and I complain about our lives and the particular circumstances, we remain blessed. It's just a matter of fact that we do not realize it always. The fact is that we are extraordinarily blessed. One of the multitude of blessings enjoyed by those who are in Christ is the fact that the Lord is their hiding place. Verse 7, you are my hiding place. This verse is something that can be expressed and articulated by every Christian. We can say this as true of us. You can say this tonight as true of you. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. By the way, when in that second phrase that you shall preserve me from trouble, it's perhaps easier to understand the concept there if we say you shall preserve me in trouble. Clearly, the psalmist is in trouble and is facing trouble. But in the midst of it, God is preserving him. God preserves us in the midst. In South Africa, when I was young, actually it occurs to me as I say that I am now of an age where I start to say, when I was young. Be that as it may, when I was young, we used to listen in South Africa to the radio. That's a TV without pictures. And we listened to the radio because we didn't have TV back then. I listened to one in particular, which was a serialized drama entitled No Place to Hide. It was about aliens. Aliens were moving amongst us. And aliens were slowly taking over. And there was no place to hide. And, you know, perhaps sometimes as you face the trials and tribulations of life, it feels as if there's no place to hide. Everywhere you look, there's a difficulty, and everywhere you look, there's a trouble. And there seems to be no place to hide. But for the believer, it's never the case that there is no place to hide. Because the believer can always say, you are my hiding place. You shall preserve me in trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. And tonight we're going to think about the wonderful truth that God is the hiding place for his people. God is the hiding place for his people. Now, I notice also that I have 7 points and then 3 applications. And so 7 points seven is the perfect number in Revelation. And 3 is the number of the Trinity. And you add them together, 7, and that's 10. And 10 in Revelation that's the number of completeness. So even if the content is weak, the outline is spot on. The numbers work. Well, let's move on from numerology and get to the content of the message. Let's think about the nature of this God who is the hiding place for his people. And let's think first of all about the fact that God is a necessary hiding place. He's a necessary hiding place. Now, in verse 7, when it talks about a hiding place is not some idyllic holiday spot. It's not a getaway. It's not a getaway by the sea or up in the mountains where we go and we can meditate and we can contemplate and we can relax. Now, this hiding place is a place where you go when you're in trouble. It's a place to escape to. It's a place where you escape from something else. We read in Isaiah 32, verses 1 and 2, behold, a king will reign in righteousness, and princes will rule in justice. Each will be like a hiding place from the wind, a shelter from the storm, like streams of water in a dry place, like the shade of a great rock in a weary land. Now that's the idea. God is a shelter in the storm. He is a hiding place from the wind. That's who the Lord is for us. He is a necessary hiding place because we are in danger. He is a necessary hiding place because we are being threatened. He is like a panic room to us. I made a movie some years ago entitled The Panic Room, and that's the idea of that we're talking about here, a panic room. And a panic room is a place in a home, a large, spacious, probably expensive home. They've made this panic room and they've made it a safe place where if there's a home invasion, you can run to that and get in there and shut the door and make your phone call and wait for the police to come. But in that panic room, you're safe from whoever's invading the home. Well, that's the idea of the hiding place. And the Lord is a necessary hiding place because we're in danger. He's a necessary hiding place because of eternal danger. Eternal danger. Just turn for a moment to Revelation chapter 16. Revelation 16. The Lord is a hiding place to us from this. Revelation 16 and beginning at verse 17. At this point in Revelation, at this point in the section with the bowls, you come to the end of the world. And it's picturing the end of time. And it's picturing the judgment that now comes upon all flesh who are outside of Christ. And this is what we read. Revelation 16, verse 17. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air. And a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings. And there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the great cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon was remembered before God, to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Then every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And great hail from heaven fell upon men. Each hailstone was about the weight of a talent. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great. God is our hiding place. When God remembers Babylon, and remembers that she is to be judged, and causes her to drink the dregs of the cup of the wrath, the fierce wrath of the Almighty God, on that day, there will be no safe place. One writer says, no city, even on the remote island, no fortress of the anti-Christian empire in a single mountain height, escaped the destructive final wrath. On that day, there's no escape. There's no place to hide. And we need a hiding place from that. We need a hiding place from the ultimate wrath of God. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 speaks about Jesus. And says, he is the one who delivers us from the wrath to come. That's who Jesus is. And that's why for us, God is our hiding place. Because the Lord Jesus delivers us, makes us safe on that day when the wrath of God is poured out in its fullness. And that's why we can sing about the blood and righteousness of Jesus. And say, that midst flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. You and I are not afraid of the judgment day. We're not afraid of the last day, the great and terrible day of the Lord, as the Bible calls it. We're not afraid of that. We don't tremble in the face of it. But rather, with joy on that day, we will lift up our heads. Why is that? Well, because God is a refuge to us. God is the hiding place for us. The Lord Jesus is the one who keeps us safe in the face of the wrath of God. We need a hiding. He's a necessary hiding place because of eternal wrath. And he's a necessary hiding place because of temporal trouble for the believer. Temporal trouble. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And when we sing that honestly from the heart. Because we know what that's like. That's the way it was for David. David wandered from God. He wandered into the arms of a woman, not his wife. And he wandered into criminal activity and committed murder. And he wandered into the desert country of deceit and cover-up. David had drifted from God. And then in the providence, and by the instruction of God, the finger of Nathan points at him, And Nathan declares, you're the man, and the sin is yours. Well, what is a sinning believer to do? What is a believer to do when he's wandered off? When he's fallen into sin? When he's drifted away? And he's become more acquainted with the world than with the things of God? What is he to do? Well, the tendency is to run from God. And the tendency is to avoid the church. And the tendency is to shun fellowship. That's what we do naturally. But in truth, the answer to sin is always the Lord. And the way to be rescued from wrath and the way to be delivered from chastisement is always to run to the Lord, to find Him as our hiding place. In a phrase, the way to be saved from God is to run to God. God Himself is the safe place from wrath and from chastisement. You see, God forgives the penitent sinner and saves him. And God forgives the penitent saint and restores him. Always, then, God is our hiding place, a necessary hiding place, because we are sinners by nature and practice, and so we need Him to save us from wrath. And then even as believers, there's still indwelling sin, and we need Him to rescue us from the trouble we get into because of indwelling sin. And when we wander, we always must run back and find Him to be our hiding place. So God is a necessary hiding place. Such is the case here with David. Because that's the big issue for David. Because he has wandered off and now he comes back and he says, Lord, You are a hiding place for me. And how marvelous that is. And before we go any further, we know that all of this is possible and all of this can be real because Jesus has died. You notice that he says, blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. But you notice also that in Psalm 51, which is really a parallel psalm, he says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. So when he comes back to God, he doesn't plead the intensity of his penitence and the sincerity of his sorrow. He pleads the grace of God. He pleads the tender mercies of God. He pleads the loving kindness of God. He casts himself again on the mercy of the Lord. And what that means then, that when we come before God and when we ask forgiveness, we plead the blood of Christ. Because that alone is the foundation of our standing before the Lord. Jesus died for us. That is our only plea. As Spurgeon said, the gospel of substitution makes him our refuge who would otherwise have been our judge. The gospel of substitution makes him our refuge who otherwise would have been our judge. Without the blood of Christ, without the sacrifice of Calvary, he's never going to be our hiding place. But because Jesus died, we can run back to him. So he is a necessary hiding place. Secondly, he's a loving hiding place, our God. A loving hiding place. If you've read the history of Trinity, you may have run across and remembered a man whose name was John Howie. He was one of the founding members of Trinity. And I had the privilege when I was very young to know him a little bit and to visit him on occasion. And after his wife died, I had the privilege of visiting him different times. And I can still hear in my mind how he would greet me at the door. And I'd knock on his door, and he'd open the door, and he'd say, Carl, come on in. Just like that. I think it's a fairly good impression. And just the warmth. The sense of welcome, the evident love. Never forget that. When we run to this hiding place, when we come back to the Lord. When we enter this shelter, we are running back into the arms of everlasting love. The Lord who loves us is our hiding place. And so in verses 1 and 2, blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven. Well, who forgives him? And who provides this atonement? Well, verse 2, it's the Lord. And you'll see all the capitals there, so this is Yahweh. This is the covenant Lord. We come back to the covenant Lord. We plead the mercies of the covenant Lord. When you come to the hiding place, it's the covenant Lord who is the hiding place for his people. He's the God who makes promises to us. He's the God who promises and rescues and keeps. He's the God who loves us. It's this God to whom we return. It's this God we run to in the times of trouble. It's this one who is the shelter in the time of storm. It's the God who loves us. He's not indifferent. He's not grudgingly opening up the door. He's not, because of our insistence, letting us in. No, he welcomes us. He says, come on in. He cares about us. We are the objects of his tender mercies. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it, and they're safe. Now, the name of the Lord is our strong tower. In reality, in the Middle East, in those days, when invading armies come, you run from them, and you run to the city, and you get behind the walls, and that's important. But more than that, you run to the tower, because even if they breach the walls, they can't get up to the tower, so you go to the strong tower, and you're safe. And the writer of Proverbs says that God, the name of God, is our strong tower. And when he says the name of God, he's talking about the character of God. All the attributes of God, the name is the sum total of the attributes of God. And so God's love and his grace and his mercy and his wisdom and his power, which is for us, all of these things, the whole character of the triune God, that's a strong tower for us. So the God who loves us so much that he sent Christ for us, that God is our refuge and our hiding place. So yes, we run to this hiding place, and we are received by the everlasting arms. The God who promises himself to us in a relationship of tender mercies offers himself to us as our hiding place. He's a loving hiding place. He's a personal hiding place. He's a personal hiding place. You are my hiding place. It's not just a hiding place for me, the way actually most translations have it. It's more intimate than that. It's more personal than that. He's not just a hiding place for me. He's my hiding place. There's a personal pronoun there. Spurgeon says, personal claims upon God are the joy of spiritual life. To lay our hands upon the Lord with the clasp of a personal my is delight at its full. That's right. And that's the privilege and the joy of every Christian. To be able to say, you are my hiding place. Look at Psalm 18. Personal pronouns abound in Psalm 18. Psalm 18, verse 1. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I'll call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from my enemies. God is a personal God. God is a personal hiding place. And you see the intimacy. Hymn writers on occasion really latch on to the intimacy which is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. For instance, think about this. Things that once were wild alarms cannot now disturb my rest. Closed in everlasting arms, pillowed on the loving breast. Oh, to lie forever here, doubt and care and self-resign, while he whispers in my ear, I am his. And he is mine. How many times have we sung that without really thinking that what he's talking about is that we put our heads on the chest of God? Pillowed on the loving breast. And that we long for that to never change. Oh, to lie forever here. Now, no matter what your circumstances, that's your privileged experience. Pillowed on the loving breast. Oh, to lie forever here. And have God Almighty Himself to whisper in your ear affirmations of His love. That's extraordinary. And that's why I'm saying He's a personal hiding place. My hiding place. God is my God. He's my strength. He's my strong tower. He's my refuge. He's my hiding place. And I know Him. And He knows me. I am His. And He is mine. It's a personal hiding place. And He's a strong hiding place. He's a strong hiding place. Hey, read in verse 7, you're my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. There's no debate and there's no question. He will keep us. He will preserve us. He will guard us. He will be a safe place for us because He's strong. Life for us can be overwhelming. Circumstances can get to us. Troubles can come upon us like a flood. And we can feel rightly so utterly weak in the face of it. But then we run to the Lord, and what happens? Well, we're strengthened. It's just like Paul in 2 Timothy, as we saw this morning. He's utterly bereft of companionship. And then he stands in the face of this opposition and he says, the Lord just poured strength into me. That's what we find when we're overwhelmed and we run to the Lord. And He's a hiding place for us. He preserves us in trouble. I mean, in the midst of it. So many occasions we ask to be delivered from it. And it's not His will. And He doesn't take it away. The thorn in the flesh is there and it's not going to leave us because God has said, no, it needs to be here. But then in the midst of trouble, He preserves us. In the middle of it, He keeps us and He guards us. And He's our hiding place in the face of all of that. He gives us strength. And so the Lord can preserve us because He has all power. He is a strong tower, high and powerful, impregnable. That's our God. Psalm 61 verse 3. You have been a refuge for me, a strong tower of strength, rather, a tower of strength against the enemy. They can't batter down His walls. They can't scale this tower. Now, God is full of strength. Psalm 91, He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. It's the Almighty who is our hiding place. That's why we can stand up strong and firm. Because He's a strong hiding place for us. And when we run to Him, we're okay. Which brings us to the next thing. He's a safe hiding place. He's a safe hiding place. Just one occasion in my life, I've had to run for my life in South Africa. And I remember the wonderful sense of safety arriving at home. When you run to the Lord, you're safe. When you are wrapped in the everlasting arms, you're safe. They can't get at you. Yeah, circumstances, people, whatever the case may be, they can't touch you. You're safe with Him. You are my hiding place. And we are surrounded. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. The idea is that on every side, wherever you look, the Lord is guarding and protecting. Wherever you turn, there might be trouble, but wherever you turn, there's a defense. The enemy cannot penetrate. There's no opening in the defense. There's no weak spot in the line. We are surrounded with songs of deliverance. Wherever we turn, there's a song about God saving us and keeping us safe and delivering us from trouble. We're safe. God is, as we read in Isaiah 32, verse 2, God is our shelter from the storm. The storm rages, but God shelters us from that. We're safe. We read in Psalm 31, in the cover of your presence you hide them from the plots of men. You store them in your shelter from the strife of tongues. In your presence you hide us from them. In your presence you keep us from them, from whoever would attack us, whoever would bring us down, whoever would cause us shipwreck in our faith. No, Lord, you keep us safe from all of them. We read in Psalm 27, verse 5, for he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. The waters of affliction rage, and they threaten to drown you. And God lifts you up above the raging turmoil of affliction, and he places you on a rock that is higher than the afflictions. And there you're safe. He's the one who keeps us safe, you see. And he will do this. There's certainty here. He preserves us in the midst of our trouble. God is a safe hiding place. And then number 6, God is a wonderful hiding place. It's a wonderful hiding place. You can't have a better hiding place than God. It's not as if you get into this hiding place and you think, oh, we should have gone over there. You can't get a better hiding place than God. His strength is unmatched. He has infinite power, you see. And so Psalm 62 says, power belongs to God. I mean, power is His. I mean, that's the concept of power. Power in its essence, it is His. He doesn't just have power. Power belongs to Him. And His faithfulness is unparalleled. So if you want to be safe from the things that surround you and the troubles that face you, Psalm 100 and verse 5 says, faithfulness of God, the faithfulness of God endures to all generations. He's always going to stand by you. Every promise He makes, He will fulfill. He'll never say to you, well, you know, this, I know I said that, but He'll never say that to you. And then His watchfulness guards us. He's never asleep at the wheel. Psalm 121 says that He keeps us. And He never falls asleep. His eyes are never closed to you. His ears are never stopped to you. He's not like the Baals. And the prophets of Baal are shouting and screaming and cutting themselves. And Elijah says, well, you know, maybe he's sleeping. Maybe he's indisposed. God's never like that. His eye is always on you. That's the kind of hiding place. You don't want a hiding place where, you know, you can't get in. We don't have your reservation. No. His watchfulness guards us all the time. And then His love ensures our safety. In John 10, Jesus says that nobody can snatch you from His hand. You're engraved in the palm of his hand, the prophets say, and nobody can snatch you from that. Nobody can take you away. Nobody can remove you from the Lord. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So yes, he's a wonderful hiding place. And then lastly, he's a permanent hiding place. Number seven, he's a permanent hiding place. I've seen pictures of bunkers. You know, it was all the rage in the 50s. Bunkers that were designed to protect people when, you know, when they dropped the bomb. And they've been abandoned, these bunkers, most of them. And they've deteriorated, and now they can't protect anyone anymore. God's not like that. God never changes. Psalm 61, verse 4 says, "Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings." He's a shelter to us. He's a refuge to us. And we can go to that hiding place and be safe in that shelter forever. Always. You might live to be 120. You can always run to the shelter, to the refuge, who is God. And then when you die, then you're with him even better than you are now. So the Lord's our hiding place, a necessary, loving, personal, strong, safe, wonderful, permanent hiding place. Three lessons. All this being true, and it is, because it's, I've just been quoting Bible verses to you. This is an easy message to put together because you just think of, you know, what does the Bible say about this? Well, all this is true. This is just gospel truth for you and I. So all this being true, and it is, what shall we say? How shall we respond? Well, first of all, we run to him. We run to him. All this can be true and you can still be in a mess because you don't go to him. So run to him. A shelter is no good if you don't run to it. Medicine is no good unless you take it. Food is no good unless you consume it. So, do you run to the Lord? Are you running to the Lord? Are you now running to the Lord? Are you seeking him? Praying to him? Because that's how you run to the Lord. We don't go physically, but we pray to him, we look to him, we turn to him in faith. Are you doing that? Because many Christians, many of us, frankly, don't do that. What do? Well, we run to friends, don't we? We run to them and we talk to them. Or even Christians sometimes. You just hope you get lucky. You know, when you're in trouble, what do you hope? Well, just hope it works out. Or you hope the statistics are in your favor. Or you ignore the problem, hoping, you know, just pretend it's not there. In all of these ways, we, in a twisted way, try and cope with circumstances and trouble. But the simple fact is that when we're in trouble, run to the Lord. Just run to God. Just pray to him. What a friend we have in Jesus. And how foolish to not run to him in prayer. If he's the hiding place, if all this is true, well, run to him. And it's especially true if you're not a Christian. You need to run to him. You need to run to him in faith and repentance and ask him to save you. Because one day you're going to try to run from him. If you don't trust in Christ, one day you're going to try to run away from him. Revelation warns us about this. You're going to try and run away from him. You're going to run to the mountains. You're going to ask the mountains to hide you from the wrath of the Lamb. That's what's going to happen. That is exactly what will happen if you're not a Christian on the last day. You'll run away from Christ. You'll be confronted with him. You'll see him with your own eyes. And you'll be made to acknowledge that Christ is Lord. And then you're going to want to run away. And you're going to run and ask the mountains to hide you from the wrath of the Lamb, and they will not be able to, because you can't get away from him on that day. Far better to run to him now. Run to him and ask him to save you before you have to run away from him, because he will judge you. Run to him. Secondly, rest in him. rest in him. This has been David's experience. He's found God to be his hiding place. You see verses 1 and 2. And he delights in the Lord. And now he knows also that as he looks to the future, he can look to the future with confidence, with assurance, with peace. Because he rests in the Lord, knowing that the Lord will look after him, and the Lord will keep him, and the Lord will always prove to be a shelter to him. And so he says, "You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverances." Most translations don't articulate the future aspect here. But it's there. You shall do this. You are my hiding place, and you will continue to be. The future is important there. This is a good translation. And so he looks to the future with great confidence. And so no matter what happens down the line, no matter what comes around the corner, you're okay because you're my hiding place. And you shall preserve me in trouble. You're going to continue to be a hiding place for me. This is not a one-time thing. This is not a temporary experience. This is not a momentary deliverance. This is something that's going to always be the case. You shall preserve, you shall keep me. And so we're at peace. You see, we run to him. We always do that. And then we rest in him as we contemplate the future. We rest in him. Psalm 112 in verse 7 says, "He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting the Lord." So we run to him and we rest in him. And lastly, we read about him. We read about him. Because we want to be those who have greater confidence in God. We want to have stronger faith in the Lord. We want to experience more and more what it means to enjoy God as our hiding place. How do we do that? Well, Psalm 119, verse 114. "You are my hiding place and shield, I hope, in your word." There's the key, you see. If you want to know and experience God increasingly and truly as your hiding place, know more about him. Learn more about him. Derive more comfort from God being your hiding place as you delve into the scriptures and learn more about the nature of this God who is your hiding place. This is where God is set forth. All these truths we've talked about what kind of hiding place he is, I didn't dream that up out of my head. I just looked at the Bible. And the Bible says, oh, he's strong and he's loving and he's faithful. I didn't read that in a book. That's right here. So if we want to enjoy God as our hiding place, well, we marinate our minds in the truth of the scriptures. Because then we learn more about God. Then we see more. What a safe place he is for us. What a welcoming refuge he is for us. What a perennial hiding place he is for us. And a loving one to boot. So we read about him. And we search the scriptures. And when we do, we will run to him more quickly. And we will trust him more confidently. And then we'll walk through this world with a greater sense of that peace of God that passes understanding. And a greater sense of enjoying God as our hiding place. Let's pray. Our great God and Father, how we thank you for the revelation of your word, the revelation that you give us in this word about yourself. And we pray that we who know and love the Lord Jesus might more and more learn about who you are, deepen our knowledge and experience of the Lord, so that we might not only enjoy you more, but walk more and more profoundly in the peace of God. Grant this, we ask, for Jesus' sake. Amen.